Hi, this is Sarah.
And Chris.
We're just getting ready for a time of wonder.
Excitement.
And discovery.
Welcome to...
the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Accidental Dilemma.
Here's point A. Here's point B. It's not that hard to connect the two.
Cool, now I'm not the only one who feels like a ditz. Okay. Everyone's gonna hate us for this, though.
Everyone, welcome to the 34th edition of the Unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Hello, everyone. Sorry we are a couple days late.
Life got crazy and hectic.
Yeah, and then migraines started to attack Sarah, so...
yeah, pretty much. And, yep. Sorry. Anyway, how have you been, Chris?
Pretty good. I was excited to finally hear the conclusion of, what episode is this called? Accidental Dilemma.
Me too.
Well, there's a few topics to discuss from this episode. I guess the biggest thing was Jason. There's a lot to talk about Jason. The first of which would probably be his escape.
Yeah, I was kind of in shock, and for a few seconds I really thought that he had died. But then I remembered the conversation that Whit had with, Jason had with Tasha about the witness protection program, and I was like, yeah, they didn't kill him off.
Incidentally, it wasn't the witness protection program that saved him, though. It was pure bluffing. And that's what I think confused a lot of people, in that, because... when you bluff, you're not only bluffing the villain, but you're also bluffing the audience into thinking that, oh, Jason's going to risk his life to save Whit and Connie and Grady. Whereas in actuality, there was no danger to... there was no danger in the first place. What was a bit confusing was the fact that the tunnel exploded. So it was obviously a very well orchestrated plan and very well executed as well. And that Jason basically triggered the bombs without killing himself.
Mm-hmm.
But from the very start, though, and I think this is where there's a little bit of confusion on the boards as to how or why Jason was doing this. He planned this from the very beginning. The whole point was to draw out the Whisperer by using himself as bait. And
yep.
I didn't get that initially until I heard it a couple times afterwards.
I got it initially, but that's me.
Right. Sarah gets everything on the first time.
Actually, that's not true. I didn't get that Connie knew the truth that Jason was still alive.
And that's something that I think we disagree on. I'm pretty sure we will.
Okay. Jason says, and thank Connie for me. And then he says, oh, shoot, I lost the line now. But he says... thank Connie for all of her help.
And then he asks, do you think she'll be able to keep it a secret?
Okay, Chris, if she doesn't know that he's alive, what is she supposed to keep secret?
Well, I was under the impression that he was going to say, thank Connie for me, but like in terms of like telling Connie what happened. It was implied that he would tell Connie what happened, but I guess maybe she was part of the plan, and that totally went over
my head. The original plan, just that she knew that he was, not the plan of the whole bomb exploding and Jason still being alive, but that she found out afterwards that Jason was still alive. Like, I don't think she was part of the original plan.
No, for sure, I think she definitely would have found out, because this was 2 weeks after the fact.
Right, but Tasha didn't know that Jason was still alive.
No, that's correct, and I don't think Connie knew. Okay, maybe we do agree then. I don't think Connie knew in the scene where she was talking to Tasha. She didn't know. But between then and the 2 weeks, I think she found out.
Wait, Chris, no. The scene with Tasha and Connie occurred the same time that Whit and Jason met up, because Whit had already left for France.
I don't think so.
Okay. I think that Connie found out, and when she talked to Tasha, she already knew the truth but couldn't let Tasha know. So she had to play Tasha and make sure why
would she play Tasha? Why would she need to do that?
Because Tasha's part of the government, and they don't want the government to know that Jason's alive.
But Tasha wasn't talking to Connie. Tasha wasn't talking to Connie. Connie was asking Tasha about it. She was like, "Oh, why can't we have this funeral?" She wouldn't have asked that if she knew.
Yes, she would, because she's playing Tasha.
But that's the thing, though. That's not in Connie's character, though.
Fine, we do disagree.
We shall agree to disagree.
Okay,
on that.
But we're disagreeing on something that we didn't. That wasn't the original intent of disagreement.
That's true. So then we agree on what we thought we originally disagreed. Excellent.
Okay.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yes. Okay, to clarify, we both agree that Connie knows that Jason is alive.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Now, I think a lot of people are going to relate this resurrection of sorts, and it's gonna happen, to Mitch's faked death. What do you think about that in terms of them pretending to kill off Jason?
It kind of crossed my mind, but see, here's the difference. Everybody knew that Mitch died. Nobody knows that Jason is dead except for the agency and the Whisperer and Carson and Grady. Everybody else thinks he just left town because of Rusty Gordon. Nobody believes he's dead.
That's a good point. And maybe even the writers were trying to reference that in a way, but not... And twist and turn it on its head, really, in terms of, like, oh, he's dead, and he's alive, but he's alive, but for this time, it wasn't, like, three episodes later. It was that episode. And I think it's important that they did that, because I think a lot of people would have been rolling their eyes if two episodes later they found out that Jason was, you know, relaxing in
France. And I was thinking it reminded me more of A Last Great Adventure this summer than it did of Mitch's death, just for the record.
Yeah, I think we talked a bit about that, or we mentioned it in the last podcast.
No, I mean like the death scene where he died, he faked his own death so his enemies would think he was dead, but he wasn't actually dead. More than reminded
right,
me of
right,
Mitch's fake
right.
death.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to the fact that Jason may have just been written off the show.
Well, it's a good closing line if you need it to. I mean, yeah, it could be writing Jason off, but it could also just be, hey, they're going on hiatus for a year and a half, so... If they need to write him off, then they can. If they don't, it's still available. He's not dead.
Right. Well, they give themselves a couple options this way, for sure. But you think that, especially with the actors getting older, that Jason would be someone to perhaps keep around.
Okay, we really need to go at least one whole show without mentioning the ages of the actors.
We didn't mention that last podcast.
I feel really horrible, because every time we're like, oh, the actors are getting so old, and I feel really bad. Some of them still have plenty of time left.
Well, you have to take that into consideration, though.
But...
And to write Jason...
Forget about it a little bit. Don't remind them of their age every single time.
Hold on. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. To write Jason off would potentially leave us with one Whitaker left, and potentially two if Paul decides not to return.
We still have a whole Whitaker family left.
What Whitaker family?
Witt's daughter.
Who hasn't been around in forever.
So?
So, they can just easily bring them back? Well, of course, they can just recast new characters. I mean, sorry, new actors and actresses.
But they'd be like, Monty and Jenny would be all grown up now. Monty could come back, and it would just be like, yay, Jason came back. Now it's Monty's turn.
Now
third generation Whitaker.
It could be, Monty's Witt's End. Or Monty's End. But anyway,
ooh, I still liked that the Whisperer's weapon was a cattle prod, which reminded me of the darts from the Case of the Secret Room.
Yeah.
Percival Fenwick's cane.
Yeah, it was really a hybrid of that and the taser from Darkness Before Dawn. Yeah, there were a lot of references if you think about it. I mean, the Case of the Secret Room, The Last Great Adventure of the Summer, and the entire Darkness Before Dawn saga, there were a lot of... It was very much kind of a culmination episode with references to all three.
Oh, and for the people who were complaining a couple weeks ago about Witt's End, it was still mentioned, and they were talking about the demolition and how they're trying to fix everything. Are you happy?
No, because now what's going to happen? The tunnel exploded, so now what's going to
transpire? The tunnel was supposed to explode. It was rigged to explode. That's why they had the dynamite there. It's not like anything happened that wasn't supposed to.
But not prematurely, though.
It was scheduled for the next morning. That can't be that premature, Chris.
I'm just saying what other people are going to complain about.
Quit playing devil's advocate. No, you're good. I'm sorry for snipping. I apologize.
Oh, you're forgiven. I forgive
you. Thank you. Okay.
What did you think about the fact that they didn't quite wrap up the Grady Carson angle?
I was just gonna go there. Okay, I'm saying too much. I thought that was rather interesting. Actually, I didn't even notice, to be honest, until people started talking about it on the boards, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, they didn't really wrap that up. Stupid ums!
Yeah, I don't recall not hearing it either. I heard it the second time after reading the comments, and I thought, oh yeah, you're right. They didn't really wrap that up at all. And it's interesting because there's a point in part two where Carson says to Whit, your son knows that you love him, respects him, or appreciates him, and my son doesn't know that yet. So to say that and not have some sort of reconciliation there, maybe not reconciliation, but some kind of finality there with them saying something to each other, I think that would have been really helpful. Now, this is not in any way to negate the rest of the episode, because I don't think that was... Obviously, that wasn't the central aspect of, or the central theme of it, of the show. But at the same time, I think it would have been nice to have them go back to the two.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would have been nice to have a little bit, but at the same time, like I said, I didn't really miss it, so it wasn't that glaring to me. But that just might be me.
Right. It wasn't that significant that we'd have to, you know, give it 2 stars out of 5. I was like, oh, they didn't talk about Carson and Grady.
Well, and we don't know. We might be hearing more from Carson and Grady.
Yeah.
If this is the last that we hear from them for the rest of the season, then yes, I would have problems with that, without that wrapped up. But, and on the other hand, you know, it's just, in my mind, it was kind of implied that Grady viewed his dad better because he was the hero and knocked out the Whisperer and stuff.
Yeah. No, I was glad for that. There's not a lot of time. You don't often hear physical violence in terms of, like a simple punch, as simple as a punch is. I mean, who said it? Why didn't we think
Connie?
Of that? Yeah, Connie. Of all people.
But, if you notice, there weren't actually any commercials this episode, or I think the last one either.
I did notice that. And that makes
me... it went the full time. So they may have wanted to put stuff in there, and honestly, they may not have had time to.
Yeah,
because they only get a certain period of time on the commercial, on the radio slots. So who knows? Maybe there'll be more in the album version.
I think that might suggest that this could have potentially been a 3-parter, and they had to cut it down. Maybe not 3-parter, but a very long 2-parter, and they definitely had to maybe cut out scenes that were unnecessary, and that may have been one of the scenes. So that would be something to ask Paul McCusker, maybe, if we ever get in touch with him. But overall, I thought it was a solid episode, solid 2-parter.
I liked them both. I listened to it. This is something that I would listen to, and I love this slapstick humor.
Oh, totally.
And I realized, okay, you know what, guys? The Whisperer is supposed to be a silly character, like the Joker in Batman. And this is supposed to be, to quote a friend, this is like a B Odyssey, like a B, you know, like how you have B movies that are like low production, hilarious, slapstick, kind of corny. So not that this was like low production or anything like that, or low quality. It's just, it's like the villain is like a B villain, and so he's funnier and never mind.
Yeah.
Cut all that out.
No,
I don't really know how to finish explaining that.
No, I will. I will continue on Sarah's.
My thought.
Thought. Yes, her thought. Thank you. I'm just going off of what we mentioned last week. I don't think Odyssey needed or needs another Blackguard or another Bennett Charles. And nope. I posted this on the on the boards last, or in regards to, in response, sorry, I posted this on the boards in response to the first part. The Whisperer, if he was truly a maniacal character like Blackguard, it would have made his character less credible to have him defeated in a two-part episode. I mean, think of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of Bennett Charles being introduced, okay? Well, I mean, it's hard because he was anonymous for the longest time, but let's say you're introduced to this super bad villain like a Bennett Charles or like a Nigel, and then one show later, boom, he's dead. He's back in jail. Wow, what a tough villain that was. It doesn't work the same way. You can't have it both ways. If you are going to have just like this small short story with a really bad character, then he can't be the all-powerful manipulative Blackguard.
And don't forget that Blackguard never got caught. Blackguard was who he was because he had escaped judgment for so long. And the Whisperer has just been in prison for a good 18 years, meaning he got caught, which says something for his intelligence level, quite possibly.
Exactly.
So you can't expect something like Blackguard when you have somebody that just got out of jail
right.
for so long, and they've been in for so long.
No, I think the writers did a great job writing his character. It fit perfectly for the two-parter, and I loved it, so... Mm-hmm. Good job, Mr.
Yay.
McCusker. Well, before we move on to a couple letters we received, let's give out the clue,
we have
the
letters?
Fifth clue. Yeah, we have a couple letters. Let's give out the fifth clue.
Did I know about these letters?
Yes, you probably just forgot about them.
Okay, cool. Clue. Okay. Lake, as in Trickle Lake.
Excellent. So now you guys have five clues. We're getting closer. Only seven more.
Yay!
Oh, and next week we're going to finally... Oh, you know what? We can almost reveal the prize now, should we?
No.
No.
Let's wait longer.
Oh.
Let's wait till we're halfway there.
Sounds like a plan. Everyone's going to hate us for this, though. Or hate you.
Okay. They're going to hate me? I'm not the one that said we couldn't reveal it until a certain date.
That's true. Hey, but don't insult...
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, one other thing before we get to the letters. I thought Wit's French was hilarious.
Yeah, you kind of figured that Wit would have known more languages considering that he's traveled all over the world and was worked for the NSA and has been a missionary everywhere and worked for an encyclopedia, but whatever.
Yeah, you think so. I'll be posting a translation of what he said and also exactly what he said in French, too. Just for those who... didn't know what he said, or were wondering.
I didn't know what he said. I don't know French.
Shall I say it now?
Sure.
Well, basically what he said, okay, well, it was, you knew the bonjour, monsieur, was hello, sir.
Yes.
And then he basically the man asked, what would you like? Wit responded, I'm looking for someone called Jason Whitaker. The man said, il est là. He's over there. Merci, thanks. De rien means no problem. So... Jason Whitaker's over there. Thank you, and no problem. So,
yay.
Pretty basic, but I know I had to look up a couple words myself since
you're Canadian.
I haven't
taken your second official language.
I haven't taken French since high school, and yeah, I took it for 1 year.
Okay, so apparently we have letters that I
moving
don't know
on
about.
To our letters. Yes, we have one from Brandon, a user from the town of Odyssey. He says he just wants to clarify.
I didn't know about that.
He says he just wants to clarify a few points. The Whisperer knew that Jason was responsible for putting him behind bars. He just had no idea where Jason lived. He was not responsible in any way for Jason releasing the information on where Jason was living. Someone else was, whom we are unaware of, and that was confirmed in this episode where the police interrogated Rusty and then released him. So we don't exactly know who tipped him off.
Yes, we do. Wit and Jason said they did it.
Who's they?
Wit was the anonymous tipster.
Oh, another thing I missed out on. Wow.
Because Jason says, and you're sure they can't trace it back to us? And Wit says, no, they can't.
Oh. I was wondering what that was about. I was like, why would they trace it back to
you? Well, they were talking about Rusty. What else would they be talking about?
No, but I was wondering, like, why would they trace it back to you when you had nothing to do with it? Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Okay. Wow, I feel
okay.
So stupid. That's cool.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
Here's point A. Here's point B. It's not that hard to connect the two.
Well, I understood the fact that they planned it out in terms of Jason drawing out the whisper. I just didn't understand the first part, which was him, the fact that he was an agent.
It's
that
good.
Explains a lot now. That explains the entire two-parter now. Okay, cool. That's okay. We
yeah,
all
because
make...
at the beginning, the whisper said, you know, oh no, it ruined our plans. We have to move them up again.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they weren't planning on Rusty blotting it out. They were going to try and get to Jason before anyone else knew about it.
And that explains why Jason and Whit were so ho-hum over it in part one. Cool. And now I'm not the only one who feels like a ditz.
Hey, did you just call me a ditz?
Moving on.
I feel like Connie when Eugene said something about her being a swine.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. That's just out of line. Okay.
Alrighty, moving on.
Brandon also mentions that the use of modern technology is awesome and that the use of YouTube does not require any licensing. It falls under fair use. On a more technical note, he mentions that, love your podcast. The only thing you guys need to work on is clipping. I like you both, and don't take this the wrong way, but it's noticeable when you're listening in your headphones. Most sound editors have a clip remover, which should help, although I've never really had to use it.
What does clipping mean?
I don't know exactly what he means. I think what he means is like a filter of some sort to remove any feedback or hissing that we have while we're recording. Unfortunately, I don't exactly know what the source of the technical glitches are right now, Brandon. I think it has to do with Sarah's end, although part of it could be on my end as well.
Yeah, and sure. Blame me.
Hold on. This happened before Sarah got her new mic and she was using her old mic. It was for the most part pretty reliable, and since then it hasn't been as reliable. So it could just be her mic, and I don't blame Sarah for that. It's the manufacturer,
right? You should blame yourself. You're the one that told me to buy this particular microphone.
Well, I wasn't also the one who left their microphone in Washington, so...
Whatever.
Okay, moving on. So anyways, no disrespect, but this is turning into a mess. Stop getting before it gets worse. Or stop it before it gets worse. I think that's what he meant to say.
Okay, I'd love to help you in whatever way I can, but I have no idea what you're talking about, unfortunately. So, if anyone can tell me what is being talked about, that would be really cool.
In other words, make the quality of your podcast better than it is already. We're trying our best. We're not official. We're not professional podcasters, so we don't really. We do the best we can with what we have and what we can afford.
Yep, but thank you.
But we will. After this season, we'll definitely try to amend the problems.
I'll have my old mic back. Within 6 weeks, I think. So for the last two podcasts, I'll have my old mic back.
Yep, during the hiatus at least.
Yay!
Okay, the next one is from Sonia. And she writes, I'm a 28-year-old Scottish immigrant to Ohio and have only been listening to AIO for a few short years. I love it! I'm really enjoying the podcast that you have been making. I love the banner between you and I've subscribed to you on iTunes. The first time I listened, it was the one where Chris was saying, hi, this is Chris. It took me aback to hear a guy's voice saying it. That was pretty cool. Well, it was fun doing it. I have one problem, though. I listen to you on my iPod at work. Chris is softer spoken, and I have my volume up a bit for him. But when Sarah talks, more so when pretending to be offended at something Chris says, it about blasts my... Sonia, this, whenever she seems offended, she is truly offended. Anyways, it blasts her eardrums out. Yeah, most of the time. Anyways, it blasts your eardrums out and makes the earphones buzz. I enjoy you very much, Sarah, so please don't take offense, but I think it's a sound balance thing or something. Keep up the good work and all the best for school. And Sarah, I pray the Lord touches your eyes so you don't lose your sight. God bless.
Aw, thank you. I appreciate that. And for the record, yes, part of it is fake offense because it's fun to react and I know it makes people laugh and I'll try and work on my volume, but I'm generally a loud person. However, part of that is because Chris has told me so many times to turn my mic volume up, and then I have, and then, yeah. And then I turn it all the way down, and then he complains about not being able to hear me, so it's
again,
not really my fault.
One of those things where this thing's only happened with Sarah's new mic. And again, I don't blame Sarah personally. It's an unfortunate fact of life, I guess.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry for making people go deaf, and I will try to monitor my.
Well, it's only fair, right? You're going blind, so make other people go deaf.
No, that's horrible.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You better
So,
be.
no, I am. I'm kidding. So, yeah, again, that, I guess that could be faulted on me since I'm the one who ultimately edits the whole thing, so I can always turn her Sarah down. And I actually do. I do turn her volume down quite regularly, too. So.
Thanks. I'm trying to be more aware of how I sound, so.
Nope, and Sarah hasn't, her volume hasn't peaked today yet, so we're good.
That's because my mic is about, well, it's a lot lower than it normally is away from my face. Instead of being parallel to my face, it's like 3 inches below my mouth.
Aha, we have found a solution.
Just don't tell me that I sound off mic or I'll have to hurt you.
Yeah, I think I will avoid making any jokes about that.
Okay.
I've already been hurt enough.
All right.
Oh, before we leave, we have to give out a final rating. We're so dumb, we almost forgot.
But I saved us. Okay, I'm upping my one from last week, which was a 5 out of 5, to a 6 out of 5, and this one's going to be a 7 out of 5. There.
Whoa, going all out, Sarah. I am going to be a little bit more reserved with my review since I wasn't as blown away as I, not that I wanted, but that I was irrelevant in comparison to the other episodes. That being said, I am still going to give this 5 out of 5 stars because it was a very entertaining episode. And yeah, 5 out of 5. Okay, now we can wrap it up. So
Is there
next
anything
week.
else?
So next
Oh, what's
week.
next week?
So, you want to say it or do you want me to say it?
Okay, I'm being quiet now.
So, what's up for next week?
I was gonna ask that because I don't know the answer.
Actually, by the time this podcast is released, a class reenactment will have aired on One Place, or will be available for your listening pleasure. So there's that. We don't know exactly who's going to be in that episode, although the fact that it talks about an act would make me guess that it has something to do with Edwin. But that could just be a guess. And yeah, we'll have some more information about the live event in Colorado Springs sometime in the next few weeks. So keep your ears and eyes open.
Have a great week, everybody.
And happy April!
Yay! Bye!